Portion of God's Word that we read this evening is once again 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Actually, I'm going to change my mind. We just read this past couple of times with the last few sermons on 1 Timothy. So let's turn instead to 1 Peter chapter 3. And then we'll go back and read the text that we consider tonight. 1 Peter chapter 3 instead. Sermon tonight is on modesty in the clothing that we wear. And this is one of the parallel passages that speaks of the same thing early in the chapter. Let's read that chapter together now. Worship God by the reading of His Word. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are therefore thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. So far we read God's holy word. Turn back to 1 Timothy as we continue our series of sermons through this book. We're up to this evening verses 9 and 10 of chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'd like to make 3 points by way of introduction to the sermon this evening. The first is that I thought about not preaching the sermon on modesty at this time of the year, but rather waiting to use this text for a sermon at a different time of the year. For example, not when it's fall and winter, but instead when it's spring or summer. Sermon tonight is on modesty as it relates to the clothing that we wear. And the first inclination when we think about that is to assume that modesty as it relates to clothing simply has to do with how much skin you may reveal by the clothes that you wear. That's only a small fraction of this matter of modesty. And that's why I chose not to wait for the spring or summer months when this may be on our mind more pointedly, but to preach this sermon now. Because the fact of the matter is that it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, we must always have this on our minds. Am I being modest in the clothes that I'm wearing? And it will give us opportunity to see how this matter of modesty in our clothing is much broader than just that specific point. Namely, how much skin we may reveal by the clothes that we wear. This is very much a sermon in season. Second point, by way of introduction, is that we must not approach this subject of modesty in the clothes that we wear in a simplistic fashion. We mustn't simply say that this is something easily understood and we don't have to really delve into it to try to understand it. The fact that this isn't simple always is seen, for example, in the fact that sometimes what is modest in one context or situation is altogether immodest in another context or situation. For example, if you go to the beach and wear what at the beach is very Christian, modest clothing, you take those same clothes and you wear them to school or you wear them to church, and in that setting, in that context, what was modest then now becomes altogether immodest. The point that I'm making simply is that we mustn't be simplistic in our approach to this. We need to be sensitive and exercise great wisdom in how we understand modesty as it relates to the clothes that we wear. Third point by way of introduction is that though that is very true, nevertheless, in another sense, this is simplistic, and we mustn't try to complicate this more than we have to. And the reason that's true has to do with the fact that our clothing that we wear arises out of, in a very strong way, the gospel of Jesus Christ. The fact that we have a God who loves us in Jesus Christ and who unites us to Jesus Christ by faith. When you know that, and when you believe that for yourselves, the truth is that that reality affects every other area of our life, particularly this. And when we have that on our minds, that I'm a believer, I'm a Christian, I belong to Jesus, then very much, and in a certain sense very easily, are our decisions about the clothes that we wear made for us. And by taking that approach, it guards against what is always a danger when it comes to this subject, and that is being legalistic, saying all we need to do is follow these rules, these guidelines, these lengths, and whatever else. And if we do that, then we're all set as it relates to the clothes that we wear. Sometimes those are necessary to have those guidelines, to have those rules. But we need to go deeper than that and see that you and I are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love our Savior. And because we love our Savior and love our God, that determines the way that I clothe my body and the way that others see me. When we have our minds in the right place and connect this matter of modesty in clothing to the heart of the gospel of salvation in Christ, then we put ourselves on a path to be Christians that are not affected by the immodest culture in which we live, but are Christians desirous to be holy in this area of our lives. Let's look at this using as our theme tonight the Christian woman's adornment. The Christian woman's adornment. Notice in the first place, adorned with modesty. In the second place, adorned with good works. And then third, adorned with Christ. The Christian woman's adornment. Adorned with modesty, good works, and then Christ. The main exhortation of the Apostle Paul in our passage is that we must be modest. But the truth about modesty is that that word in and of itself is broader than just the context in which we find it in 1 Timothy chapter 2. Modesty can be applied to many different things. And that's why he makes clear that he's talking about modesty in this specific area of our lives, namely the clothes that we wear. And furthermore, this is the Apostle Paul's exhortation specifically to women. They especially must know this truth concerning the clothes that they wear, that they are called to wear modest apparel. Beloved, this is a critically important subject for us to consider from the Word of God this evening. It's critically important in the first place because of the culture and society in which we live. We all know that. We live in an altogether immodest culture. The name of the game in the fashion industry today is not, let's develop clothing lines that are very respectful and honorable, but let's develop clothing that is the most revealing and most immodest possible. Sometimes you walk through the mall, and if you're with young children or boys, sometimes you have the idea that I need to cover their eyes as we walk down the middle of the mall and see the advertisements with the pictures or see other people. It's everywhere around us. The immodesty is rampant in the world today. And that's why as Christians today, this is a very, very important subject. We need to hear sermons about modesty lest we be wrongly influenced by the world in which we live. This is a critically important subject for a more important reason, though. And that has to do with what I mentioned at the end of the introduction. This is critically important because you and I are believers. We're Christians. And we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we mustn't overlook what is the opening words of the passage. In verse 9, we read at the beginning, "In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel." We mustn't overlook that "in like manner." What that "in like manner" does is relate it to the previous verses. In the previous context, we saw in the last sermon, Paul exhorts us to pray for all men. And he does that especially because we have a God and Savior who saves. And we have Jesus Christ who is the ransom, who paid the price for our salvation. And specifically, we saw at the end of the sermon on those verses how it's directly related to men. Verse 8 says, "I will therefore that men pray everywhere." And that word "men" there is not the general word for mankind, but males, pointing to the fact that he's dealing specifically with the gathering of the church publicly and the calling that men have to pray. Now we get to verse 9 and it says, "in like manner." And there is at least a twofold connection between these verses on modesty and that previous context that we considered already. The first is that the emphasis falls on the gathering of the church publicly. Just as men have the calling to pray for all men in the public gathering of the church, this is true for women. In the public gathering of the church, they must adorn themselves with modest apparel. But there's a second connection, and that has to do with what was the main ground for the exhortation to pray for all men. The main ground is that we have a God who saves, and we have a Christ who is the ransom. That glorious truth concerning God as our Savior and Jesus Christ as our ransom has something to say about this whole matter of modesty in clothing. You women belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. This God who is Savior and Christ who is ransom is your God who is Savior and your Christ who is your ransom. And therefore, that stands behind and must stand behind everything you do in your life. That's the amazing thing about the gospel of salvation in Christ. Find one area of your life not affected by the fact that you have the term Christian applied to you. There isn't anything that we do not affected by the gospel. And what we see here in light of the context of these verses is that this very much too is affected by your relationship to Jesus Christ and the fact that God saves you in Christ. Because you have a God and Savior, adorn yourselves, Paul says, with modest apparel. I'd like to get out of the way towards the beginning of the sermon this evening what Paul is not saying in this text. What he is not saying is that any broidered hair, use of gold or pearls in our clothing, or the wearing of costly array is wrong. He's not saying exclusively, if you put your hair in braids, put gold in your hair, pearls in your hair, or wear expensive clothing, you are sinning. What Paul is doing here is not simply setting forth the principle being, as Christian women, adorn yourselves with modest apparel, but what he is doing is giving the specific situation in the church of Ephesus. There were women in that church not adorning themselves with modesty. And this is why. This is what they were doing. They were braiding their hair with gold, pearls, and wearing costly array. What these women in the church of Ephesus were doing was drawing all of the attention to themselves. They put their hair in altogether elaborate fashions. They put gold and pearls everywhere in their hands so it was shimmering in the light with the most expensive clothing that you could find. And by doing that, they showed that they were immodest in their clothing. The fact that the apostle is not prohibiting the use of any of these things is evident, for example, when you look at the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 talks about what that virtuous woman wore. Proverbs 31, verse 22 says this, "She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple." Silk and purple, those were the finest, most expensive clothes that were found in the ancient day. Purple clothing was the clothing of royalty. And so it can't be said that from the Scriptures we're never to wear expensive clothing. That's simply not true. Paul is simply identifying what was the specific problem in the church of Ephesus. These women making their hair in these elaborate fashions, bringing attention to themselves by that in the clothes that they wore. And that leads us into seeing what is the positive point of the apostle in the text. He says that in the clothes that we wear, we must be modest. Do we, by the clothes that we wear, draw attention to ourselves? Or by the clothes that we wear, are we bringing attention and glory to God? Our clothing can be one of two things, modest or immodest. If they is modest, when somebody looks at you and sees what you are wearing. The focus is not on you, but by what you are wearing and the way that you cover yourself. Someone will say concerning you, that's a believer. They're dressing honorably, respectfully. And if they know you as a Christian, they'll say ultimately that's because of God. And so the focus is not on you, but the focus in the end is directed to God. Immodest clothing does just the opposite. You look at somebody who has immodest clothing on, and the point of those clothes is not to direct somebody to God, but to direct them to me. We will dress modestly when, as the text says, we have shamefacedness and sobriety. Those are matters of the heart and mind. Outwardly, we will adorn ourselves modestly when in our minds we have shamefacedness and in our hearts sobriety. Shamefacedness has to do with having respect for others, not wanting the attention completely upon us. As in it the word shame. If you are ashamed, you don't want people to look at you. That's a positive quality when it comes to this matter of clothing. You wear your clothes with the idea, not everybody look at me, but you want to deflect the attention, ultimately, as we will see, to God. Sobriety has to do with being sound in mind, good judgment. We're not confused. We'll dress modestly if, when we're walking through the mall and when we're looking at our closet, we have sobriety, we have good judgment. You look at this and say, no, I can't wear that because that's immodest. You look at this and you say, yes, this is something that is God glorifying by the way that it covers my body. Our mind needs to be in the right place if we are to clothe ourselves in modesty. The grand question here, to boil it down, is this: am I bringing glory to God by the clothes that I wear, or am I bringing glory to self? And you have to understand what glory is all about. If you bring glory to something, what you are doing is saying, look at that thing. Focus your attention upon it. See the greatness of it. If our clothes are bringing glory to ourselves so that all of our eyes are directed to us, look at me, bring the attention to me, set your heart upon me, then we have a problem. Or, by the way we dress, are we saying, don't look at me. I'm dressing honorably and respectfully so that you know that I'm a Christian and therefore bringing the glory to God. Modesty is the virtue according to which we bring glory to God and love for our neighbor by the clothes that we wear. A few points of application in light of this truth. Number one, immodest clothing is the clothing that is revealing and sensual. Obviously, on a sermon on modesty, this has to be brought up. You look at the fashion industry today, and it's all about tighter and less. The tighter it is, the better, and the less of it, the better. So that the clothing is altogether revealing and in no way respectful. And this is serious. We must not brush this aside as though we can't learn from this. No, we need to do better in this sometimes. It's so easily for us to get sucked into the mentality of the world, particularly as it relates to the fashion industry. Obviously, we have to shop at the same stores for the most part as everybody else shops at. And when that's all that you see around you, this much skin being exposed by the clothes that you wear, you can get into the false understanding that that's okay. It's immodest when our clothes are too revealing or sensual. And the problem with this is that in this respect, it's a double whammy. It's a double whammy because on the one hand, You're reflecting something about yourself when you wear those clothes, when the skirts are too short and the tops are too low. It says something about you. But on the other hand, you're leading others to sin as well, so that they see you and the lust is incited in them. That's the seriousness of dressing immodestly as it relates to that point that we are making right now. And that's why when I said modesty is bringing glory to God and love for your neighbor by the clothes that we wear. You're not loving your neighbor, particularly the men and the boys, when you dress in an immodest way. Men are incited by what they see. And the fact of the matter is that this is something we need to fight against all the time. It's everywhere around us. Men and young men and boys. Like I said, you walk through the mall. And at times when you walk through the mall, you need to say to yourself, don't look. And don't let those thoughts go through my mind at this time. Think about the particular context here in the church. Let this be true for men at this congregation, that when they come here, never do they have to say, don't look, and don't let those thoughts come in my mind on account of what someone else is wearing. Let this be a safe haven, because the women in our congregation and the young women in our congregation dress modestly, respectfully, and honorably before God. I say again, don't brush this aside. Consider yourself very honestly in this regard and strive in this respect to bring glory to God's name. Second point by way of application is that it's not simply a matter of revealing clothes, but it's a matter of our overall appearance. And that's the importance of seeing the broader definition of modesty in this context. The fact is that these women in the church of Ephesus were not necessarily being revealing in their clothing. They had braided hair, pearls and gold in their hair, and they had costly array. It doesn't say anything about them being extremely revealing in their clothes, but yet they were immodest. And that's why it's important to see the broader idea of modesty, and that is, we're immodest when it's all about bringing attention to ourselves. The second point of application here is simply this. Are we driven in the clothes that we wear by the other people that will see us? Why am I wearing this and not this? Is it so that when other people look at me, they'll think about me in a certain way and attention will be brought to myself by these clothes? Young people, why is it the case that you'll set foot in this store but not that store? And so that you have this name on your clothes and not that name on your clothes? Is it so that by virtue of those clothes that you wear, all of the attention falls on yourself? Let it not be the case that that is you. And I'm not saying don't wear any clothes with a name on it. And I'm not saying don't wear nice clothes. It has to do with our hearts. Why am I insistent on paying this much for my clothes or shopping at this store? Does it all have to do with self and the desire to bring glory to my name? That's what these women were doing in the church of Ephesus. It was all about me by the clothes that they were wearing. Third point of application is that we need to be balanced here. We must not go to the other extreme, where you say concerning yourself, I hate all of that. I hate all of the revealing clothing. And so what I'm going to do is go over the top and dress immodestly. And ultimately what you're doing is no different. By doing that, what you're saying is, look at me. I'm trying to prove a point here. And by our definition of modesty, that's absolutely no different, because once again, the attention is drawn to yourself. Boils down to this again. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and by the clothes you wear, be desirous to bring glory to His name. Be honorable and respectful in every respect by those clothes. I've been talking specifically to the women. That's who's addressed in the passage. But the reality is that there's a word to men here too. You men who are husbands and you men who are fathers. What's your role in this regard? Your role is very, very significant. Part of your calling as a husband and a father is to make sure that your wife and your daughters are dressing modestly. Use your sanctified wisdom. You know what is modest and what is immodest, what is too revealing, and what therefore they shouldn't step outside in. And as a husband and as a father, it's critically important for you to say at those times, no, my daughter, you're not going to wear that dress to the banquet, or you're not going to wear those clothes to the beach. Are they going to like it when you say it necessarily? No. And that's why you're going to explain why. You're not going to do that because that doesn't glorify God in the clothes that you wear. And it doesn't matter that you pulled the tags off it and you can't return it and you have to lose out on some money on account of it. I'm not going to let you wear that. And you shouldn't want to wear that because by wearing that, you are bringing attention to yourself and you're even leading others to sin. Men, we need to be bold here. And even when it may be tough to say it and be insistent that the women in your homes dress modestly. Fact of the matter is that sometimes we can be so influenced that they don't even know it. See it all around us and it becomes the norm. And that's when men need to step in and say, no, it's not appropriate as a Christian young woman or as a Christian wife. Application to you young people too, especially you young men, you high schoolers, you junior hires. The application to you is don't reinforce what is the wrong mindset of the world. And that is that the young girls and the young women who get all the attention and all of the popularity are those who dress immodestly, are those who by their dress bring all of the attention to themselves. What do you look for in your friends of the opposite sex, and for that matter, your girlfriend when you come to the years in which you begin dating? Not this. Not popularity because of the clothes they wear. But as we will see in the second point of the sermon, good works. And that leads us into the second point of the sermon. The fact that as Christian women, and obviously this applies to men too, we must be consumed with good works. That's the contrast that the apostle makes in these verses. He says, don't adorn yourselves with broidered hair, gold, pearls, or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. And that word but there is the strongest word in the original Greek to form a contrast. He's saying this is what you must be concerned with. Which becometh women professing godliness. You women here this evening, I trust profess godliness. That is to say, you make a promise and confession concerning yourself. I am a woman, and I am a teenage girl that loves God, and in everything I do, wants to reverence God and glorify Him. I trust that all of the women here would be women professing godliness. The women in the church of Ephesus were such women. Problem was that there was a disconnect. A disconnect between that profession they made concerning themselves and the clothes that they wore. And disconnect's not the right word. There was a contradiction. They said one thing, but they did another thing. For you women who profess godliness, this will be true of you. You will adorn yourselves with good works. I'm not going to be consumed by what I wear outwardly, that it's the latest and greatest and most expensive. What I'm going to be consumed with are doing good works. Works that are proceeding from a true faith, done according to the law of God and to the glory of God's name, as we learn in the Heidelberg Catechism. Very simply, what I am going to do in all of my life is serve my God in everything. You'll notice that in verse 10, there's no verb that is given. We have to assume a certain verb. And the verb that it placed there is the one that I've been using, adorn. Verse 9 is all about adorning with modest apparel, not adorning with these things that are immodest. In verse 10 we get to, and the implication is this, but adorn with good works. I bring that up because that's a profound idea. That with which you adorn yourself is on you completely. You adorn yourselves with certain clothing. You go out for the day. Those clothes stick to you all day. You don't separate yourself from those clothes. That's what must be true as it relates to good works. So zealous am I and so desirous am I to walk in all good works that I want to, as it were, adorn myself with them, cover myself completely, so that not a period of the day goes by in which I am not earnestly desiring to walk to the glory of God's name. Think about that figure as it relates to your Christian walk here on this earth, adorning yourselves in the service of God's name. A few points again of application here. Number one, let's rethink the phrase that we often use. I'm going to get ready for period, period, period. We use that phrase all the time. Probably used it before we came to church tonight. I have to get ready for church. And what does that apply to? You know what you're referring to. You're referring to your physical getting ready for church. Putting your clothes on, spending time in the bathroom, getting ready to go to church. And what I am not saying is don't do that. No, do that. Adorn yourself respectfully. Put your Sunday best on. Come into the house of God looking in a respectable way. But let's also think about that phrase in a different way. I'm going to get ready for church. And what that means is this. I'm zealous about doing good works. I'm concerned just as much about the clothes that I'm wearing, the suit that I'm putting on, or the dress that I'm wearing, as about my heart. I want to get ready to go to church because I want to come to church in the right way, my heart in the right place, so that I can worship God, do that good work in the best way possible. And so on Sunday morning, I don't get up just in time to do my hair, take a shower, and put my clothes on. But I get up a little bit earlier so that I can pray to God and read His Word. Because this is what I'm zealous about. Adorning myself in the worship of God's name in good works. You young people, you have to get ready to go out on a Friday night. Come home from school, you're going to go out with your friends at night. Got to get ready to go out. What does that mean for you? 45 minutes in the bathroom to do yourself up on a Friday night? Or this, I need to put my heart in the right place. I'm confident that I'm going out with good friends, but I'm not sure what I'm going to face tonight. And I want to be godly in my life as a young person on this Friday night because this is what I'm zealous about, adorning myself with good works. Rethink that phrase in all of our life. In the second place, you older women and you mothers need to be marvelous examples for the younger generation of women in the church today. You think about our society, and you know this to be true, that it's not getting better. It's not getting better in this respect. As time goes on, very clear that we become more and more revealing in our clothes, tighter in our clothes. Sexuality is presented to us at every corner. As the older generation, You need to be an example in this respect, that as women, this is what I'm concerned with. Godliness in the glory of God's name. How can we expect our junior high girls and our high school girls and our young women of the congregation to be concerned about adorning themselves with good works when as mothers and as wives, all we're concerned about are the clothes that we wear and the way that we look? You can't expect them to be any different than you. It's not true that with age, beauty diminishes. It's just the opposite. With age, let our beauty become all the more brilliant and magnificent. Beautiful because of this. We grow in our spirituality. We grow in our desire to love the Lord. We must have the same thing in our heart as we read in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not a man as man seeth. For man looketh at the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Obviously a little bit different context, but you get the point. As the older generation of women, be consumed with your heart and be a great example to the younger generation too. Third application is that you young men who are in high school and in college, this is what you look for in a woman, for a spouse. Not for beauty outwardly, but for beauty in the heart. And let that govern whom you date and why you date them and why you desire them to be your spouse. Because you want a spouse who's not so concerned about the way that they look outwardly, but you want a spouse that will encourage you and live with you in godliness and holiness before the Lord. I'd like to conclude this evening with the way that I began, and that is by seeing everything that we've said hinges upon the fact that we are adorned with Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful figure in Scripture concerning our salvation, that God in Christ clothes us. He adorns us with the righteousness of Christ. We who are filthy by nature. When if you look at our clothes, they are stained with sin. Have them removed. Put upon Christ on that cross. He was clothed on that cross, Christ was. Clothed with the robes of our sin. And what were His robes and His clothes, namely righteousness, are given to us so that we are adorned beautifully in the righteousness of Christ. That's what stands behind all of this. And don't forget that for a moment. It goes back to the very beginning. You look at Adam in paradise. He fell. They were ashamed on account of their nakedness. And God came to them and said, here are clothes for you. And those clothes served a twofold function. The clothes in and of themselves covered that shame. And by the nature of those clothes, namely skins, which meant the shedding of blood, showed the way in which that shame was covered, namely by Jesus Christ. The clothes God gives us are pictures to us. We look outside and we see a rainbow. Immediately we think, God, covenant, faithfulness, beautiful. Let's think about something. When we look at our clothes, let's think about something. When we go to the mall and shop, let's think about something. When we look at our closets, clothes, they're gifts to us from God to cover our shame and nakedness. And they're pictures of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Let them be that for you. Pictures. Because when you dress immodestly, what you're not doing is reflecting the glory of God in Christ. What you're not doing is saying by those immodest clothes, I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ. You're doing something very different. By the way you clothe yourself, show that I am a woman and I am a man, clothed with the righteous robes of Jesus Christ. And because that's true, the second point of the sermon is true. I want to be zealous first and foremost about good works. And because that's true, the first point of the sermon is true. In the clothing I wear, they're going to be modest and God glorifying. May God give us the grace at this time of the year and throughout all of the year to be a people who adorn themselves with modesty, good works, because we are adorned with Christ. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, pray that this might fall upon hearts that are ready to hear it and eager to obey it. May we be a people who are zealous for good works, particularly in this respect, that we adorn ourselves in holiness. We thank Thee, Lord, for this word. We thank Thee for the practical instruction that it provides us. And may we be lights in the world in this respect too. Forgive our sins, Father, and keep us from sin for Jesus' sake. Amen.